Kelly has agreed to be our new Oasis coordinator. Now that deserves a clap. She's very enthusiastic, which is also good, but I thought a lot of people, although Kelly's been here for the better part of the year, a lot of you may not know much about Kelly, so I thought it would be good if this was an opportunity for her to tell us something about herself. So to start with, if you want to tell us something about you, your family, yeah?
Sure. So, hi. Nice to meet you all, or see you all. I've met most of you. But my name is Kelly. My husband is Mike, who's up the back. And I have a little girl named Hannah and a little boy named Samuel. And we live just up the road in Denniston West, walking distance of the church. And though we're fairly new here, we've been in Baptist world for quite a while. So we used to go to Concord Baptist and just moved up here to be in our local community, actually. So it started to come here at the beginning of the year.
Okay. Can you tell us what it is that you do when you're not here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a mum, and I also work 2 days a week for the Baptist Association, which is kind of like our head body for New South Wales and ACT. But the work I do there is actually around helping churches connect in with issues of social justice, and also helping churches think through how they engage with their local communities. So we're doing some really cool work in those areas, and yeah, excited to...
Don't you love God's timing in bringing Kelly into our church when we're talking about how to do greater community engagement? I mean, that is just so cool. Okay. Your plans for Oasis? Your hopes?
Well, it's going to be a bit of an experiment, really. A bit of...
Great.
My background isn't children's ministry, although I've done a fair amount of stuff with children's ministry in the past. My interest in leading Oasis is really, to empower leaders in our church. So to empower and equip you to help and lead in Oasis and to feel comfortable with that, to encourage you in that. But also, because I have kids of that age group, I think a lot about the spiritual development of children, not just learning about the Bible, which is very important, but learning that they can have their own relationship with God and that God speaks to them, and respecting them as individuals, that they can have just as much of a relationship with God as we do as adults. And so what I'm really looking to do with Oasis is to try to find ways to help children connect and respond to God. And so that might not look the same every week. We might try some things and they might not work out. But I'm really excited for the journey. And I hope, too, to help equip you as parents, just like I'm learning, on what I can do at home to try to foster that development throughout the week. So anyway, we're just kind of on this ride together, huh?
Good. Thank you. You can hear the passion there. It's good, isn't it? Yes, very good. Okay, last question. Mm-hmm. If you could travel anywhere in the world, money wasn't a problem, where would you go?
I'd just go back home.
So, this is home.
Well, yeah, this is home. This is home. So you might be able to tell, although my accent has evened out a little bit, I think. I'm from the U.S. originally, and my entire family is still back in the States. And we are going back for Thanksgiving this year, which is a really fun time of year. But I would probably try to make that a more regular thing. And also, there's so much of the States that I haven't seen myself. So I'd probably do something like that.
Thank you. Before you sit down, I'm going to ask Scott if he'll come and pray, and I'm going to ask Cindy to come out the front as well. Don't make a face at me. You don't need a heads up. So I've asked Cindy as well because Cindy heads up our minis, which is the program for our 1 to 5-year-olds. So, and Kelly will be doing the next age group. But I thought it's worth having them both up here. That we can be praying for them. And I want to encourage you to stand up to pray for them, to join with Scott.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank and praise you for the gifts of giving us both Cindy and Kelly and their husbands and families. And we thank you that they're taking on these roles, for especially the children, that as a church we are all responsible to be able to encourage and nurture our children. But these two, especially as they prepare programs that are appropriate for the children to be able to understand, and as Kelly says, to connect with a spiritual understanding that with God themselves. And we just thank you that you have raised these people up, and we especially Kelly, and just help her to be wise in how she prepares for them, and it's okay, she can experiment and be able to do different things to be able to help the children to connect. And hopefully God, that your spirit will just help and guide them, and that you'll envelop the children in your care, and under them they'll nurture and know you as their Saviour. And we just thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. So just one more announcement. That is, this Thursday night is our monthly prayer time together in the back room. So you enter through Endeavour Street this way. This is just 1 hour that's set aside, one Thursday a month, just for us to get together as a church to pray. So can I encourage you to make that time, that hour, to be here? If a night's not doesn't work for you, there's a group of us that meets every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. I wish it was 8. At 7 a.m. Out the back out here again, and you would be very welcome to join us. We pray for each other, we pray for our church, and we pray for our community. So that's this Thursday night or any Wednesday morning. I'm just going to pass around these clipboards. Quite a number of you have been asking me about Simon. He's going to be speaking to us this morning, giving us the message. So I've known Keith now for a number of years. I'm not sure how long.
I don't know. You were one of my students at one stage.
One of your first.
So that's, yeah, fair while ago.
One of your first students. So yes. So I studied at Morling College, where Keith teaches, where Karen attends and Cameron attends. David did attend. So we've got quite a lot of connection with Morling College. So Keith's going to share a message with us this morning. But I thought before he does, I won't get him to introduce himself again because we've done that in the past, but I thought he could maybe share with us a little bit about Morling College and who it is and what they do.
Yeah, well, Morling College is just over there near Macquarie University, right next Bort door. And we teach people the Bible. And we teach people how to be chaplains, how to be counsellors, and how to be teachers. So we have a whole range of different options to study and learn about different things and how to work for God. And we can empower and equip people to know the foundation or the understanding around why we do what we do as a church. Why do we do social justice? Why are we doing things in this community? Why are we reaching out with the great news of Jesus? And so Morling College helps us to do that. And we do that through a range of different awards of study. And so you can get a qualification that can guide you and direct you in your study and learning about the Bible and what the Bible says about how you live for Jesus. And so there's different options we've got. We can teach at different levels of study. Some people will study like what's called a diploma, which is sort of a lower level of study, right through to postgraduate. And you can do like a doctorate and PhD, and you can do that sort of thing. So there's a whole range of different options depending where you are in your understanding and your ability to learn and grow in that way. And so we encourage you to think about that. We have on a free course that's offered called The Lens. And The Lens is a really great way to get to know the Bible as well. So The Lens is, you can see that on our website. You go on a website and you can put in The Lens and you'll find about our Lens course. And that just gives you a good overview of the Bible and goes through all the different passages of Scripture and helps you to understand different things. So hopefully that's just a little bit about Morling. And go onto our website, morlingcollege.edu.au, and you'll find us and you'll hear and read everything that Morling can do for you and help you. And we partner with churches to help people. So, you know, you've got a great pastor here because of what Morling College has done, and you've got another great pastor coming up and a great chaplain, and you've got other people who've been doing some great things because Morling College partners with churches, and we thank you for your support. But we do ask you to keep praying for our work as we reach out to a whole range of people with the great news of Jesus.
Thank you. So if you want to know anything more about study at any of those levels, You can study at the college, you can do it by distance, part-time, full-time. There's all different ways. You might not want to be a pastor, but you might just want to learn more. So any of those things, see Keith this morning, come and see me, Cameron, Karen, anyone else to find out how you can do that. Doesn't matter how old you are, there's a seniors group that meets regularly as well as others as well. So it's a great way to learn and to just grow in your own faith. Before we have our prayer time, I'm just going to ask Hayley to come and give us the second of our three Bible readings. Thanks, Hayley.
Okay, so the Bible reading comes from Psalm 104:14-23. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, the stork and its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labour until evening.
Okay, we're just going to have our prayer time. So if you're new with us this morning, this is a time where we just spend 5 minutes together as a church praying, and we do that with the people around us. So move your chairs. It's an opportunity to pray for something that's personal for you, but also just for, we've got a number of people who are away sick at the moment. People are in the middle of moving house, and people awaiting visas. So lots to pray for. I'll close that off in a few minutes.
35. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. They the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. Their ships go to and fro, and the leviathan which you formed to flock there. This all look to you to give them their food at a proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touch the mountains and they smoke. I will sing the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the weak be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be here. How's everyone going? Going all right? Yeah, it's a great day, isn't it? I want to begin by telling the story of Barbara. Now, Barbara was one of those women who ended up as a hairdresser and felt that what she did wasn't significant. She felt like she would end up somewhere different in life. She thought maybe she could do something that had more impact in society, maybe a doctor or maybe even a teacher or something that was significant in her eyes in how she saw it. But she ended up as a hairdresser. And so she was cutting people's hair and washing people's hair and just living in this day-by-day process, washing people's hair, cutting, washing, cutting each day as life went on. She kept pondering how she wished she was doing something significant, something like what Chris does or Karen does, something significant. She thought that meant more because they were doing stuff where she was just cutting hair, washing people's hair, working through in life. Different people would come and sit in her chair as she cut their hair. They would talk, she would talk. And then what would happen one day is this man, Andrew, ended up in her chair. And as she started chopping, she stopped talking for a minute and Andrew started sharing very early in the conversation how bad life was for him. He was telling how he'd lost his girlfriend just recently. He was challenged in what he was doing and he'd just been put off work and he had no job and he couldn't find work at that point in time. And also, he was drinking more than he should and he was getting into things that he shouldn't be getting into. And at that time, Barbara did the thing that most hairdressers would never do, and she stopped talking. And she just listened to Andrew. And as she listened to Andrew, Barbara, who was a Christian, started to realize something that she'd never realized before. That she could just sit and listen to Andrew. Because what happened in the next haircut, when he came in about 6 to 8 weeks' time, when Andrew came back, he was talking again, she started to engage with him. And over the next year or so, she actually found significance in what she did because she started talking to Andrew and help him to find a job. She helped him to find significance in what he did in life, helped him to stop drinking and guide him in what relationships looks like. And all of a sudden, she realized that what she did was important, that her job was to do what God had put her to do, which was to cut people's hair, to wash people's hair, but to listen and guide them and direct them. Now, she didn't hear that from her church, sadly. She didn't realize that what she did was significant. But what we have before us today is a passage of Scripture that really guides us and helps us to understand that God finds our life significant. In fact, this particular piece of Scripture reminds us that God is present with us in the everyday. God is not just present on Sunday and disappears on Monday. God is concerned about our whole of life and everything that we do. And he is there with us. And sometimes we can overlook that when we look at the Bible. We can look at the Bible in a certain way and we can put it in a certain manner. But when we look at Psalm 104, we see something quite profound. We see God here is connected with the everyday work that you do. The everyday life that you do, whether you're looking for work, whether you're doing paid work, whether you're trying to find work, whether you're doing volunteer work, whether you're at home, retired, whether you're a parent, a house parent looking after children, whatever it is, how we define work, we see that God is present in that. And when we look at this psalm, in those first few verses, you can see the image of God being present with us as people. In verse 2, we see this image of God wrapping himself in garments, the image of the clothing industry that we have today. Everyone loves a good shop, don't they? They go out and buy new clothes. Here, God has gone to somewhere and got his clothes as he's wrapped himself in his garments. So he's connected with us. Then verse 3, he rides in clouds. He has wings like a chariot and a ride. Here we have bus drivers and train drivers and metro drivers here with us, present. God is using people, in a sense, to transport him. Now, it's just an image. It's not real. But in a way, it is. There's a connection. Verse 4, we see this image. The winds are his messengers. Here we have the image of communication, like phones and the internet, this method of connecting and getting messages across to each other. Here God is present in the communication industry of the day. Verse 5, he sets the foundations. Here we have the picture of the construction industry, building, bricks, mortar, wood, all those sorts of things that go with the construction industry. Here we have God building a foundation, a constructing image that we have. And verse 5, the connection to God in the creation of work and connection with that. As we move through to verses 6 to verses 10, we see this bigger picture of God present with animals and the beasts of the field. Now, where do animals get their food from and the water? Often we think of it that their water is always around, but we as people provide water for our pets. We provide food for our pets. We look after cattle, we look after sheep, we look after horses. All these beasts of the field, we are part of that. So God uses us in the way that the animals are fed. God is present with us even at that point of time. And as we get to verse 15, we see this image, this agrarian image, this image of the field. And we see this picture of God flourishing in our lives, his presence with us, helping us move forward in life and develop. God is not this distant God out there. He's here with the everyday, the Monday through to the Saturday. All those times, Monday through to Sunday, God is present. There's not this division that we often can see here in our Western world, this division between some people are doing this and some people are doing that, and somehow Sunday's a better day than Monday. No, we see this picture of God present with us in all that we're doing, all our struggles, all the things that we're doing, all the toil of our life. And that's the reminder that we have, the toil of our life, God is here with us. He knows what's going on as we contend with our working week, the different things and different elements of that. I want to tell you the story of Joe. Now, Joe may be a familiar story to some of you. Joe's one of those guys who fell into a job that he didn't really want to have, but that's the job he ended up in. He ended up doing a whole lot of house chores and looking after people, and he was actually part of this rich family of the day. And this rich family had him as this person who would go and get the food and cook the meals, make the beds, do all the cleaning around the house. And then he sort of guided and directed other people to do that, and he sort of really advanced and helped this household to really get better. But it was one of those households where the dad, had to move out of home and work somewhere else. So often he wasn't home. He'd go away for many days. Maybe he was a fly-in, fly-out sort of dad. I don't know. You know, one of those people that fly to the mines or fly to a part of Australia and then they come back to their house for a week or something like that. You know, those sorts of people. Well, he may have been one of those. I'm not sure. So he was an absent dad to his children. And he had a wife. And this wife was there. And she obviously was pretty lonely. Because one day, Joe was working away and this wife came to him and with sexual advances towards Joe. And Joe realized that's not what he should be doing. Joe should not be living like that, especially in his role as a worker in that house. Anyway, he moved away from the wife and dismissed her advances. But unfortunately, the wife claimed that he touched her and did things that he had never done. Here was Joe trying to do the best he could as a worker, and his integrity was questioned, and he ended up in another job that he didn't want to do. It was a worse job than he was in before. But what we see with Joe as he tells his story, the story of Joe goes on, and we find out that Joe realized that God had called him to what he was doing. God was in the midst of what he was doing, and even in those hard circumstances that he faced. You might understand the story of Joe is the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 through to Genesis chapter 50. I encourage you, go back and look at that story through the eyes of Joe, the worker. Joe, the person who lives in this world and ends up in different places, called of God to work and do his bidding in that way. But as we move through and remind ourselves the story of Joe, and we work through our passage of Scripture today, we end up at verse 15. And verse 15 is sort of the centerpiece of our passage of Scripture today. As we see God present with us as workers, present with us in our life, present with all the things that we contend with in this world, from Sunday through to Monday, through to Saturday, all the different days of the week, as we look at this passage, we see that God is there as a relational God. He's a God that's built on relationship, and we relate to others. This basis of our work calls us to flourish. And verse 15, the wine that was drunk was basically the water of the day. Back in the time when this passage of Scripture was written, that wine was safer to drink than water. And so water became something that people would tend to just use for washing, but not necessarily to drink. And so wine became this relational concept where people would drink together. And food, the bread, was the staple of life. And it was often the place of hospitality, of sharing what you have with others who would come around. And there's this relational concept that exists. And oil, the oil was a basis of selling and buying in the marketplaces. It was used for commodities to protect your skin, but it was quite a rich commodity. It was the money of the day, the oil that was there. And so that would happen in the marketplace, the relational aspect. And so we see here this whole image leading up to verse 15 of God with us, present through our work, leading to the basic staples of life in our economy. The way that we interact with people and sell things, we see that God is there present with us, connecting vertically and horizontally, God with us and us with each other. And so we see this image of relationship of God and what we do. And then the psalmist moves through and he talks about the story of the different types of animals and the different types of places that are there. And he brings this same image that we have of the domesticated animals, the animals that are in our homes, the pets, those types of things, and other animals in the wild that are looked after, the conservation, looking after the lions and the tigers, and some of the endangered species. And so there's this connection to the zoologists, the conservationists in our world. We see those who are trying to maintain the world in which we have been given. And in Genesis chapter 1, we were given that mandate. We were given that command as people to go and care for the environment, care for the world, rule over this world, look after it. And so these professions, these vocations, these jobs, these positions are all important to God, no matter what we do, no matter what we say. And then we move into verses 19 and 20, and we work through to 22 and 23. Sorry, I'll just go back a passage. And we see in verse 22 to 23, we see the image that you can't keep working 24/7. Has anyone tried to do that? Tried to do an all-nighter? And then the next day, you feel like you've got a hangover, you feel really bad. The reality is God has put it in the seasons. He wants us to rest. He wants us to take time out. And sometimes when we keep working and working and working, God's saying, stop. Take time out. Look after yourself. I'm present with you. I'm the provider through you. And so we need to sort of be careful of some of those voices that we hear that tells me, oh, I need to work harder, I need to do more. And we need to remind ourselves in that way. But these verses remind us of the electricians, don't they? Because those people who work at night, how do they see? Back in these days, the only way you could see was with a little small candle or maybe even the use of an oil lamp. But an oil lamp was quite expensive to use because, you know, burning the oil would cost a lot more money than maybe a candle. And so you had your electricians of the day, the people who would provide the oil, the people who would provide the candles. And obviously you wouldn't want to work too much at night. So this is sort of standard. Now, we don't live in that same day and age, do we? We've got light bulbs, we've got different electrical things. We live in a post-industrial age. And so when this psalm was written, it was a different time. But it reminds us that we can't work 24/7. We need time out. We need to look after ourselves to be able to continue to do what God has asked us to do. And so turning to verse 25, we see another picture. Just when you think some of the professions that you are in aren't there, we turn to the marine industry, the sea, the sailors, the sea mariners. And here we have this picture of the ocean, with picture of the sea, those who go across the ocean. And it's significant in this passage of Scripture in verse 25 to 26, because back in those days when this was written, the sea, the ocean, was actually seen as a mythological beast, that there was mythological animals in there that were scary. And so people wouldn't want to go onto the ocean because the storms and the turmoil and the big waves were all caused by different gods. In fact, one of them was called the god of Yam. And the god Yam was believed to rule the sea in one of the different nations around that day. But what we see here is something really interesting for those who are sea mariners, those who are transporting goods across the ocean. We see those beasts, those magical beasts, Leviathan. Has anyone heard of Leviathan before? We don't really know what a Leviathan is. The Bible's not clear. we try to interpret this passage. Some people think it's the Loch Ness Monster. Some people think it's a dinosaur. Some people aren't really sure what it is. But whatever it is, what we see here is the image of Disneyland. Leviathan is now playing like he's in a park, like in a playground, frolicking in the sea, frolicking in the ocean. God has control over him. So even though we're working in really dangerous conditions, in dangerous contexts, we see that God is there present with these people and sea mariners. God is sees what you do is significant, no matter where it is in life. And sometimes we can think, like Barbara, that what I do should be like that person's doing, or like that person's doing. They're doing a lot better work than me. And maybe it's a chance to rethink where God's got me, to rethink if I'm at home changing nappies of babies, that maybe that's significant. Maybe we're doing cleaning in people's houses like Joe was, and we've got to see that, no, this is significant. Maybe we need to shift our understanding. But verses 27 to 28 gives us a bit of a shock as we look at this passage of Scripture. And it goes through and it talks there in verse 29. And it's the reminder that the thing that takes everything away, all our ambition, all the things we try to accumulate in our life, all the things that we do in our work, the significant that we might find, all the worth that we find is snatched away because of death. That comes to all of us one day, and we never know when that's going to happen. But the interesting thing of this passage is there's something significant that happens here, because the passage of Scripture talks about, you know, it goes back to Genesis chapter 3, actually, and it picks up on Genesis chapter 3 and verse 29, and it talks about, you know, from life to death. But then in verse 30, it says, and it's the same word in Hebrew, we get it differently in English, but the word there for breath and spirit is the same Hebrew word. It's just differently translated in English. And what this passage of Scripture has done here between 29 to 30, I think, is significant for us today. Because what happened is, in Genesis chapter 3, at the dawn of creation, we move from living to death. Now, through work, when God sends his spirit, it's called Ruach, his spirit, he creates and renews the face of the ground through that. And so what we see here is that from life to death, it's really from death to life. That our work, the things that we do, are significant because they bring life to this world. In fact, what we do brings life to other people. When I serve someone, when I do my work, I'm helping someone else flourish. As I think of my own life, I'm here looking outward, serving others, because no longer do I live in death. I live in life because the Spirit of God is in me as a believer. And so what I do becomes significant and is really important to remind ourselves. So from death to life, life to death, it's really about death to life. We have life, and what we do is significant. And I think it's amazing at the end of this passage of Scripture, and we miss it in English, sorry, but what we see is that it comes to this sort of like praise to God because of all our work. This connection to God in enabling us as co-creators, as God is a creator, we are creators. We co-create. We work next to God, helping do things differently and helping and expanding the world, helping people flourish, helping people to grow. And what we see here is it may look like the same word, praise the Lord, my soul, praise the Lord. They're actually two different words in the original language. And the second one, praise the Lord, is actually a heightened place. It actually means praise Yahweh. And Yahweh was very rarely said by people in the Old Testament because Yahweh was believed to be a special name of God. And so it was very rarely used. And in these Psalms, we're up to Psalm 104, this is the first time that the Psalm says, praise Yahweh. And it's all connected to our work. That's fascinating. Why 104 Psalms into this book, we can use the God praise Yahweh, because there's a relational aspect there. Because Yahweh was such a personal, relational connection with God in his understanding of who he is, we can see that our work is significant and relational with God. So that says something to us today, doesn't it? It says that our Monday to our Saturdays are important to God. When we get up tomorrow and we do whatever we're going to do with our work, whether we're, you know, at home and we're getting people breakfast who won't get out of bed, or whether it's like catching a train early in the morning to work somewhere in the city, or whether it's to, you know, drive somewhere and commute around Sydney to an industrial area or wherever it is, we can make that a time with God. And that's what I want to encourage you to think about. That our response today is first that when we get up each day, that we connect with God because he's a relational God. I want to encourage you, when you get up tomorrow morning, the first feet you put down out of your bed, you give them to God. Why don't we do that now? Everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. And I want you to just take a step, okay? Just take a step and think this is for Jesus. And I want you to do that. When you do that tomorrow, connect to God and remember that God is present with you. And you need to make a connection to God in the work that you do, whatever it is. Is that okay? That's the first thing. You can sit down. That's great. So just remember that first step is for Jesus tomorrow. I'm connecting with God. The second thing is that our work is seen as significant. That what we do is significant. That there is worth in what we do, whether we're like Barbara as a hairdresser, like Joe as a housekeeper, or we're a doctor or a nurse or educator or even a pastor. Whatever role we are, that what we do is significant. There's a word in the Old Testament called avoda. It's a Hebrew word, avoda, and it means work and worship together. That when we work, we actually worship God. Therefore, it is significant. It's used in different contexts, actually. It's used to build things, it's used in creating clothing, and it's used even in the struggle of work that we can worship God. So secondly, not only do we, one, connect to God, two, find significance in what you do, and the third thing is serve others in your work. That we're here to help others flourish, help others to get better, help others to find worth in what they do. And so we're here to be focused on other people as well. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, when the people of God were taken away from their beloved Israel, when they were taken away from that land, and they were taken over a place called Babylon, doesn't exist now, but over to a place called Babylon, God said to the people, seek the prosperity and peace of the city. We live like those people today. We live like in exile. And we live like we need to pray and seek prosperity and peace for the city. So I want to encourage you, tomorrow connect to God. Find significance in what you do, whatever that is. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's folding papers at the office, whatever it is, find significance in what you do. And thirdly, that you're serving others and sharing with others. Is that okay? I hope that's something you can take away with you today as we think of what God's doing. We're now going to finish off with a prayer. But the prayer is going to be done a little differently today. It's going to be on a video. So you can pray with your eyes open for this prayer. And I want you to think of those prayers as this person prays, that they might be your prayers as we finish today. How's that work? Did you just happen?
each one we pray. Asking for your great mercy. Give us eyes to see that our work is holy to you, O Lord, even as our worship this day is holy to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.